and good Friday morning. It is the last day of September 2022, Friday, September 30th, 15 minutes past the hour. You are tuned into The Pastor's Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, which can be heard live here on WGH Talk every Friday morning at 9:15 a.m., repeated on Sunday morning at 8:15 a.m., and then on Wednesday and Thursday at 3:15 a.m. Don't forget the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service can be heard on Sunday evening at 7:15 p.m. and repeated on Wednesday and Thursday at 4:15 p.m. Catch us on the website, WWGH1071.com, or go to any app store and download the free TuneIn app and search WWGH. You can listen to us on Alexas, Dots, laptops, Facebook, any way you want. We also do Facebook Live, this program. Go to WWGH 107.1 FM, and you can see the live pictures as they fly through the air. Also, don't forget archive programs of the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service and this program are available on the website, WWGH1071.com. We now join our host, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing great.
I'm over here fumbling around with my phone. Hey, good to have all of you this morning. Hey, I wanted to tell you this morning that this Sunday from 3 to 6 is our fall day in the park that we do every year at Prospect Park. Please come and bring your kids, or if you don't have kids, you'll have a ball no matter what age you are. It's all free. We'll be having there's food and games and crafts. And cider will being pressed. We have entertainment. It's just going to be a wonderful time. We have hay rides. I mean, it's just a blast. And we do it for 3 hours on Sunday afternoon. I know it's a little chilly and kind of cloudy, but you know what? We have a great time.
I understand we're having a sauerkraut ball cook-off between Kelly and I.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well, that'll be interesting, won't it?
It certainly will.
competition.
Yes, we used to have a chili cook-off, and we tried it either a year or 2 years. But this one fella would bring chili, and I don't know how you make chili, but you always drain the grease and rinse the grease out of your meat, your hamburger, or whatever. Well. He would buy 70% lean, which is full of grease. It had to be 70% lean, but he'd never drain it.
Oh.
And his chili literally would, if you let it sit for more than a few minutes, it would rise to the top. And because it was there, you know, people says, I get a bowl of chili, and it'd be stirred, and they'd eat it, and the heartburn, I mean, people were just dying. So we thought, you know, rather than be too offensive to this fellow, how about we just not have the chili cook-off? So we don't ruin people with heartburn. They think they got sick. But, man, you got to drain that grease, folks.
You
got to drain
do.
That grease. Hey, it's great to be here today, and I'm here with Frank. And,
good morning.
And Scott. And I am Pastor Steve Whitaker. I pastor Community Christian Fellowship. We are a Bible-teaching and Bible-believing church. That is in Prospect, Ohio, right on State Route 47 in town.
Yes.
And we are at the corner of Water and East Street. And our service times are 9:30, we have a Bible school hour, and then at 10:30, we have our regular worship service. Mm-hmm. And by 12 o'clock, we go home. And but we have a lot of midweek stuff going on. Guess what? This is exciting. This week on the Tuesday kicks off Team Kid. And if you're not familiar with Team Kid, what that is, it actually is Team Kids for Christ is what it's called. And we meet at the KP Hall in Prospect, and it's right at the corner of Water and Elm Street. And we meet at 6:30. And parents, bring your kids. They'll be well taken care of. They've got plenty of help. Drop your kids off. You can stay if you'd like, but drop your kids off and pick them back up at 8 o'clock. And they have games and snack time, and you know, the KPL is huge inside, so they're able to have a lot of games and a good time. And that's actually from preschool all the way up to sixth grade. And then, of course, after sixth grade, I have pizza with pastor on the same night, and we do that in the over in the church. We do ours in the church, and that's for teenagers to come and eat pizza. And, you know, none of this stuff costs any money. People are always saying, I can't afford to do anything with my kids. Everything's so expensive. So I just gave you three things, actually, that you can do that will cost you no money. And sometimes people say, I never get a break from my kids for even an hour. Well, if you bring them to Team Kids for Christ, guess what? You may get a break for an hour and a half, or whatever that is. So those options are out there. I just wanted to give you that. What a beautiful week it's been. It's gotten starting to get cold. You feel the fall coming on. I don't know that I'm quite ready for it. How about you, Scott?
You know, I had to turn the heat on last night, and I thought, boy, turning the heat on before October, that's a little rough.
That is a little bit rough. I don't know what this winter is going to bring. I don't know what kind of... I don't follow the predictions, because they don't seem to hold true.
No, not really. I think they do their best, but it's always up in the air until it happens.
Yes, and of course we know what the weather is down in Florida, and coming up the coast, that's really been a mess down there. I have a nephew that lives right on ground level there. His business is on in St. Petersburg, and of course they were expecting a lot, and he boarded up his business and actually stayed in it, and that was in St. Petersburg, where the tornado sucked all the water out of the Gulf right there. Isn't that crazy? You could see the ocean floor. It was bizarre. Mm-hmm. And they were afraid, of course, when it came back in, it'd be like a tsunami, but it didn't. It was still 2 feet below. But he said, other than, you know, the losing electricity, that, you know, they didn't get anything. But I know that down around Naples and that whole area down through from Fort Myers down is pretty rough. Church association sent down. I know that we have mud out teams and chainsaw teams, food feeding teams, and they all are leaving on the 3rd, and they'll be heading into Naples. And they've got quite a few volunteers that'll be down there working. And they said for as long as it takes. Mm-hmm. So multiple crews will be going down doing that work. And I know that we have shower trailers, we have laundry trailers. They're really pretty cool, because you pull them down and you go in, people can take a shower, clean up, refreshing themselves, and then the laundry trailers, they go down and people can actually bring their... It's just some really neat stuff they do. And that's one of the reasons that we're part of the SCBO, mm-hmm. the State Convention of Baptists in Ohio. That's a neat thing that they do, and they do that, and every time there's a disaster, they mobilize. And it doesn't cost any... Once again, doesn't cost anybody anything. They just go and do it. And I've been blessed to know what it's like to be out there and doing that. And kind of funny, during Katrina we went down, a good friend of ours, Ted, and I went down. We had not been trained with our disaster relief teams at that time, and they require training to go down on these teams. These aren't just willy-nilly people running down there. And we decided to go anyway, not with them, but we went to, when Katrina hit, we went to Gulfport, Louisiana. And what a mess. But it's funny. I was telling a story the other day. We were going around, and this Hope Center that was in a parking lot was like a command post, sending people out to do different things with supplies and whatnot. Sometimes we couldn't get supplies, but...
Where's the Hope Center?
It was right in Gulfport. They took a...
Oh, I thought you meant down in Columbus.
No, they took a shopping center in Gulfport, and they turned this... one area into, and actually the FEMA actually were dropping off all kinds of supplies, mm-hmm. and water, and they would mobilize crews every day. You walked into their church office and they had whiteboards all the way around the room that were nothing but dispatching areas, and they took calls all day long. But anyway, we're out here doing this stuff. We went to this lady's house, and we're going to clean up her yard and drag stuff out to the road where they could come by and then get it.
Sure.
And she says, honey, I don't have any money to pay y'all. And I said, yeah, that's fine. This is free. She said, free? I said, yeah, we're just here to help you. We want, God loves us and we love you.
Mm-hmm.
And So she had to come in and show us her collection of things that she had in the house, that her antique things from back in the antebellum times. And when we were leaving, she said, you got to take something. And she gave us a grocery bag of Mardi Gras beads.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that reminds me of Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5.
Yeah, people.
Oh, okay,
hear.
I'm sorry.
Talk.
Yeah, okay. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. And it explains to the Christian on how we're to show our love to other people,
mm-hmm.
and show Christ through our actions. And we don't accept money for that, do we?
No.
No.
We better not.
No, not at all. It's done because of what Christ has done for us.
Absolutely. I got a passage I want to read this morning. It's in, and a lot of you are probably familiar with this, it's in Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 17. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go and sell everything you have to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. You know, I look at that passage. Here's a man. He wants to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, this was a test is what it was. It doesn't mean, literally, that all of us, if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, have to go sell everything they have and then come back. It was this test of saying, how devoted will you be to me?
That's right.
How much do you really want me? And he said, you know, go sell everything you have. And you know, that's a problem we have today in society, is we have become so wealth-oriented. And not even just wealth. I call it pseudo-wealth. Mm-hmm. Pseudo-wealth is when you go buy the things that make you look wealthy, but you're not, and you're struggling. You buy, you know, it's hard to, we're trying to make everybody look a cookie-cutter, affluent look. And it's sad because people strive for that. Mm-hmm. And if they would just sit back and have joy and enjoy the people they know and take them for what they are and who they are, the stress level would come down so much everywhere. We're stressed trying to look like to be something we're not. I was telling Frank on the way in, we were talking about this, and I was talking about I went to visit some friends when I was I had some older friends when I was a kid. It's a long story. I started babysitting for them, and we all became friends. I became friends with all of them. And to this day, I'm still friends with them. We don't see each other a lot. They're all over the place. But anyway, I was down visiting some friends down in the – I'm thinking I was in the Steubenville, Wintersville, Mingo Junction area down there because we had – family all around there. And we went to visit this lady that lived out on a side road. And they just went to visit her. She was an aunt of somebody, and they just wanted to have a nice visit with her. Well, I got to this place, and I walk in, and I'm like, wow, this place, and from the outside, it looked rough. Went in, and the floor in the living room was just wood, and it had no rug on it, and I soon found out why. There was a big dip in the middle of the floor, and I looked up, and I could see daylight. Obviously, when it rained, it came in this lady's house, and she would just... it would drain out through the bottom. But the point, here's my whole point in what I'm saying, is that they had gone to visit her, and it was a wonderful visit. They weren't going to visit her house. They weren't going to see her possessions. They were going to visit her. Mm-hmm. And we have missed that somehow, where we judge people by what they have. So what if her house was like that? Maybe she was comfortable that way. Maybe she had no one to fix it for. A lot of times with those people, you would offend them by asking to fix it because they think that you're judging them on what they have.
Sure.
So you got to be careful that way. If we're going to really love and care about people, we need to be people that put judgment aside that way. I really feel that. Any comments, fellas?
Well, you know, I think on the opposite side of the scope, there are some people who, for whatever reason, have a big house or have a little bit of money, and they really, it's not there for show. They just like having people come and visit.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful to have nice things. Look, if you can have nice things, and if you've been, have that, and it's something that you didn't have to stress your family or rob Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, to have, that's wonderful. And having people in, that's wonderful. And that's not my intent of what I'm saying. My intent of what I'm saying is if we put this stuff aside, if you don't have it, don't try to look like you do, because those people in God's eyes are no more important than you are.
Well, you know, the one that confuses me, though, is when somebody, because I'm never sure if this is I just don't want visitors or this is really the reason, because the reason to me seems a little different when they say my house is a wreck.
Because I believe the reason, I don't think it isn't that they don't want visitors. I think they're embarrassed that someone's going to judge their house when they walk in the door.
Every time somebody comes over to the house, I look to see if they have a checklist.
Yeah.
Floors polished, you know, swept.
Well, they'd be in trouble.
Judge, they certainly would. You know, it's a simple life. I enjoy my lifestyle.
Well, but you know, it's because if somebody just shows up out of the blue, forget it. You can't tell them, hey,
sure,
you cannot come in here because I haven't cleaned my house. And how important, listen, if you lead a busy life, the person knows that if they're showing up at your house. So they know if there's some papers here or some undone dishes in the sink. People don't go, oh my goodness, they live in squalor over there.
Well, unfortunately, there's people that would do that.
Yes.
But here's my old point. Don't let it bother you, because enjoy the people that love you for who you are. Don't worry about it. You know, if you come into our house, I mean, it's picked up. But when you have grandkids coming in and out all the time, and Shirley and I's schedule is, you know, in the morning it's which one can get out the door the fastest, or do we get out together at the same time? But the point is, it's go, go, go. And we don't have a housekeeper. And my point, I guess, I don't want to get off path. My point is that in the case of this rich young ruler, this rich young man, possessions were more important to him than anything else,
sure,
or he would have gladly sold them. And my point is, what I'm saying is, don't be weighted down by possessions. I'll see people that will tell me, man, oh, we're just struggling, you know, if I could just get rid of this car payment. And they do. They pay the car off and immediately go out and buy another one. I'm like, what did you just do?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do that? I've told the story about this couple many times. They're friends of ours, and they're from Prospect, and originally, and they have a beautiful house up in around Chagrin Falls now, and they've had it for several years. But my point being is, they have no bills, and if you would talk to them or look at them, you would think they were upper middle class people. Beautiful home, a nice car. They're always you know, they go out to eat when they want. They go do things when they want. There's no stress there. And, you know, I've talked to them, and actually Ray's blind, has been blind for, oh my word, 40 years now, I think. Ray's in his 80s, no longer than that. He had a baseball accident as a kid. Then it was re-injured later on. Well, he was knocked down the stairs at school first, and then it was re-injured when he was sliding into a base and the ball hit him in the back of the head. He wasn't supposed to be playing baseball. But anyway, Ray's blind. But here's the deal. I talked to them one time. The most they ever made in their lives, the most they ever made together, was $32,000. And they are financially independent. Why are they financially independent? because they didn't worry about what other people had, and they took care of what they needed to, and they saved what they needed to. And I think that's a wonderful example of exactly kind of what we're talking about, that we take care of what we need to, and we build a little bit. You know, you can look at a mountain, and you can say, man, I wish I had the money to buy that mountain. Or you can go over every day and wheel a wheelbarrow load of dirt and dump it. And in about 50 years, you're going to have your own mountain. You understand what I mean? And I'm not talking about pouring your heart into it and building wealth. I think that when we look at our lives in a simplistic manner and do things, take care of first things first. That is so important, first things first. And doing your best every day. And regardless of what the circumstances are around you, you do your best to do what's right. You remain charitable. You know, this may sound weird to people, but being charitable will bring you more income than anything else. And what I'm saying is, I'm not saying be charitable to get wealth. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, if you have a charitable heart, like we're supposed to, you're going to be taken care of fine. And when I say first things first, I mean, don't be so impulsive. Take care of the things you need to. Make sure that, you know, it does you no good to drive a brand new SUV if you can't make your house payment. You know, and putting the whole family under stress because you're burdened. You know, many times I hear parents say, oh, we just have to work around the clock, and no, my kids don't get to see me, and I don't, because I'm working. Why are you working? I want to know this, because I know what it costs to what it truly costs to live today. And I think you, Scott, and you, Frank, know too, what it truly costs to live. And, you know, people will adjust their lives to what they make. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we have never been we can't be satisfied with what we have, and we got to keep looking like we have more. You know, true wealth is not possessions. And I think Jesus was pointing that out here too. True wealth is being willing to give that up and follow Christ, to give that up and do what's right, to give away. Brother Andrew died yesterday. Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
Do you know who that is, Scott?
No, I don't.
Brother Andrew was a missionary that for years and years and years, he spent his life smuggling Bibles where Bibles couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to the point where he was just open with it. He would just do it. But he put his life on the line because he believed firmly in his heart that people needed to hear God's word, and that would be life-changing to them. He didn't do it for personal fame. Mm-hmm. He didn't do it for wealth. One of the stories is back when the USSR was really, really strong. I'm trying to remember which border he was crossing, but it was a border where they were checking your vehicles and everything. And he had two suitcases of Bibles. And he said, you know, I'm going through this border. And he said, he just suddenly thought, you know what, I'm not even going to hide this. And he got several out and he laid them on his seat. And the guard came up to the car. He looked in the car. He looked at him and said, this guy's cleared, motioned him in. But he decided to be bold with who he was and bold with what he believed. And, you know, I think the day comes. He passed away yesterday, though.
Hmm.
And he's in glory now. You know, praise God for that. But he, when are we going to decide that we're going to be who we're made to be? And we're going to do the best within our ability, and that's good enough. That's truly good enough. And that's kind of what I say about, you know, the house that we visited when I was with those friends as a young teenager. You know, we went to that lady's house. You could see daylight through her ceiling. But you know what? She was living the best that she could, and she was living, and she was who she was, and people loved her for it. We were in South Carolina. We visited doing some mission work down there. I think I've shared this story. I think I did a week ago maybe or two of a African-American lady that was in her neighborhood, and she helped people. She fed people. And she had a store with a supply place. She had supplies. She had cleaning stuff. But, man, you remember that place you were there?
Yeah, because I ended up doing all the cleaning on the fry grill.
Oh, well, I was going to bring that up. people would come in. If they needed a sandwich, she made it, right? Tell them about the fry grill.
Oh, gee whiz. I don't think it's been scraped or cleaned in 15 years.
Oh, man.
That was a two-day event.
But you know what? And when you walk in there, it didn't smell the best. That lady was loving people. Yeah. She was loving people. And you know what? The entire community loved her, and nobody judged her. And this church that we went to, a Second Baptist Church in Lancaster, South Carolina, pretty large church, and they do a lot of outreach. I went to Bolivia with a group with them one time and did some mission work. But once a year, they change the name of it, by the way, and I can't think of the name of it. They do this thing called The Way once a year. And once a year, they have this 1 week where you go in and they get together, everybody gets sent out, and they do, oh my word, they have ladies that cut hair, because it's usually late summer, get ready, kids ready for school. So they have ladies that cut hair. They have people that... any help you can imagine. I mean, they build and fix porches. They have little Bible clubs at some of the apartment complexes. I went with them and ministered at a boys' home for rough boys. On and on and on they do. There's one fellow that every year, he spends the whole off year from in between this time building dog houses, and then he has a big flat trailer, and he drives around looking for dogs chained up with no house, and he goes and knocks at the door and says, would you like a dog house for your dog? I mean, they go out and they do these things every year, and I just think that's wonderful. But they don't do it, I brought that up because I know they go to her place, and just like Frank was cleaning the fry grill, I think maybe once a year that gets cleaned, if that. But they go in and they clean and they sort and they help her. And heaven forbid you offer to throw anything away, because she's going to throw a fit. But the point is, you know, we have to be willing to be who we are. You know, I had friends in school in my elementary years that didn't have anything.
Yes.
And I've been the kid that didn't have anything. And I know what that can be like, to not feel included or to have people whisper behind your back. You know, if... comments were made sometimes, oh, come on, Steve, you can go with us. I know you don't have any money. We'll help you, by the mother or someone. Why couldn't they have just said, hey, we got you covered, Steve. Let's go, man. You know, why do you have to throw that word in there, we know you don't have anything? What that is saying, I'm superior, and I'm reaching down to help you. And see, we got to be careful of intent when we do things, because that just ripped my gut out, and I didn't want to go. And you know what I mean? Because now everybody was just reminded that you don't have anything. Can we help people without reminding them they don't have anything? That's why, you know, when we do our when we do all of our help ministries, and I understand why they do it in most cases in a lot of help ministries, and they can do it how they want to do it. I never ever, and we never ever ask anyone what their income is. Whether it's our Christmas blessing or whatever we do, and you know how many, we take care of over 100 kids at Christmas. We don't ask people what their income is. We believe if they need it, they're going to be there. And we've been blessed that way to help many families. I remember one year a lady came up to me. We had just put all the gifts in her car. This is several years back. And she came back in just sobbing. And I said, you okay? And she said, you just wouldn't believe this. She had gotten laid off from a job in Sunbury. And she said, I had to make the decision whether this Christmas I was going to pay my utilities and my rent, and or whether I was going to have Christmas for my kids. And she said, I had made the decision to pay the utilities and rent, and I had a talk with the kids about it. And you guys just supplied Christmas for them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And man, that just melted my heart. Just melted my heart. And those are the that's the stuff we need to be doing.
Yes.
Share with a neighbor that doesn't have any food without even making, you know, you can invite somebody over that you know needs a meal and never let them know that you knew they didn't need a meal. You understand what I mean?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Two things here. A lot of times I will ask people, I'll say, well, let's go get something to drink. You know, soda, coffee, whatever. But that, to me, now partially, it's because you enjoy the person's company. But also, partially, you can say, well, I'll get that. And it gets them out of their worry and their angst and whatever they're in. But this whole thing about material things, one thing I have noticed an awful lot, and especially in recent years, is that a lot of people do live normal, modest.
Oh,
modest houses,
oh, sure.
Modest cars, but they have kids at home. Mm-hmm. And the kids want to do this, and the kids want to do that. And then, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when a kid signs up for a sport, well, that's fine. And that might not sound too bad, but now they need clothes, they need uniforms, they need shoes, they need this.
Not only that, it costs about $1,500 for someone to be a cheerleader.
There you go.
Some of these schools every year.
So that happens, and then that puts you in a financial burden. Mm-hmm. Because it seems like when the kids do leave or are no longer in those activities, that person's okay. They don't move out of that house. They don't go get a more extravagant mm-hmm. car. And they're okay financially. So that's also, you know, I don't know.
A stressor?
Yeah, I don't know if you tell the kid, I can't do it because I don't have the money. Because then you feel like a real, it weighs on you. That'll mm-hmm. depress you as a parent.
Well, when we grew up, we knew there were certain things that we couldn't do because we didn't have the money. We knew that we understood income differences, but it wasn't a situation where we ever felt anyone was better than us. I knew I had friends I had a buddy, I've told this story many, many times, a buddy, his parents would every 3 or 4 months buy him a brand new pair of Converse tennis shoes. Of course, I was wearing the $3 B&E Flyers. Converse tennis shoes. Well, at that end of that 3 month period, he'd give me his shoes. I'd wear them to school the next day. Everybody knew they'd been his shoes, but nobody cared.
No.
And you know, I knew that they had more. Who cares? And mm-hmm. and you know, the point being, now kids will look at you, oh man, I don't believe you're wearing those. I don't believe you're wearing. Look at those. Those are knockoff Jordans. Those aren't. Shut up. Last week I called people idiots, and I'm sorry for that if you heard me out there. I get carried away sometimes, and I shouldn't be telling people to shut up either.
Yeah, I got offended by that.
Yeah, okay. Because you're an idiot.
I know.
I don't even remember that. I don't even remember you calling somebody an
idiot.
Yeah,
I do, because I played it back. And I thought,
oh, did you?
Yeah, I got steamed. I was referring to people that were being rather obtuse as idiots. But anyway.
Well, I do want to mention, by the way, just to say, a note here, the website has been fixed, and now the Sunday service from last week is on the website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little snafu there in the technical department.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Adam, very much. Yeah, I enjoyed that guy's message. I just don't know who he was. It wasn't me. But, hey, we had a great Sunday last week, by the way. We baptized 5 people in Fulton.
Saw those pictures.
Yes, mm-hmm. And we had a wonderful dinner. Unfortunately, I had a funeral afterwards. And then we had a thing that I thought was wonderful. We had a podcast done by a family life group that talks about how parents can interact with their children and how they can get them through the tough times of being teenagers and growing up and young people. And, man, I was just sitting there thinking, we had a good group, but I was Sunday night to watch that, and it was a special event. But I was wishing that I could think of so many families that needed it. So trust me, if you guys ever need help with your family, get a hold of me. We'll get you in the right direction. But anyway, I just, you know, I understand that whole thing. You know, it used to be, first of all, we've gone way overboard with what it costs to do anything. I've said this many times that, you know, the kids in high school, and you guys can remember, the guys had 2 uniform shirts depending on whether they're home or away. And they had their football pants, and that they all belonged to the school. You signed them out. You know, hopefully you could find some that fit you. If not, they'd find you a pair. And we had boosters that raised money and paid for that stuff. And now the schools are requiring all this extra money. They do a lot of fundraisers. And unfortunately, I think that when they do fundraisers for a sport, the very first thing they need to do is make sure the cost of the kids playing it are there, because these kids any kid should be able to play. But I'll tell you something, if you're doing a pay to play, which they do now, and the school district started this about 20 years ago or 25 years ago when some of the districts were in financial trouble, and I remember it being all over the news, like Pickerington was going to have pay to play and people just couldn't believe it. Well, that got to be now they all do pay to play, And quite frankly, if you are someone where the income is very tight at home and there's no money there, there's a lot of kids that probably don't play because the parents say, you know what, I just don't have the money. And I don't think that's fair at all. I think that we don't make, everyone can't be equal. I understand that. But I think when students are in school and they're student athletes and they're all involved, we need to make a way that all these kids can do it and give them an equal opportunity in school. I'm not talking about everyone driving the same nice car or having the same nice house. I'm talking about when they're in school. If it's a school, if they want to go spend a bunch of money and pay for travel ball, that's a whole nother game. But when they're in school playing high school, middle school, or athletics, I think there has to be a way to make it plausible for any family to have their kids do it.
You know what's interesting to me, and I just learned this recently. Now, for me, and it's not because I'm rich. This is how this will come off. Yeah, well, I got all that money just coming out of my ears. But
you gotta see the gold rings on this guy.
I know. Well, me and Leroy Jenkins will be hanging around pretty soon.
But I'm thinking of Ernest Angley.
Oh, him too. Yeah, he's big get together on Sundays. But the thing of it is that I don't have any kids. So if somebody invites me to a game, you know, that's my choice to come or not because it's not my kid playing.
Right.
And if I want to pay the admission or eat at the game, that's my business. It's not going to financially break me. If it would, I would stay home. But the parents who have to come to these things to support their kids, they got to pay to get in the gate. They got to pay to eat at the concession stand, and they have to do that maybe 3-4 times a week. And boy, I looked at the prices of those things, and it's
expensive,
kind of,
isn't it?
Boy, if you were going, let's say 3 times a week, you'd be spending $100.
Sure.
Just on that.
That's tough. And they do need to make money. And I think through fundraisers, they can do a lot of that. They make a lot of money through the people that volunteer on the boosters, through the food booths, bring in a lot. But maybe that these schools need to sit down and have a brainstorming session on how can we make this affordable to our kids and what can we do. And maybe, here's a novel idea. Maybe people that are very well off could help with a scholarship fund for those kids that couldn't.
Well, why not discount for the players and the parents?
I know. You know what Buckeye Valley did this year? They've been doing it for a couple years. Shirley and I got a grandparents card.
Yes, that's a great idea.
And they have a senior citizens card, and it's lifetime. And whenever you go to any of their games, they just swipe it and you go in. That's wonderful because someone recognized that these parents are on Social Security and grandparents. They want to watch the kids, but they can't afford that gate admission either. And I wish that there was a better way. I know that when I look at our kids go to Elgin, our grandkids go to Elgin and Buckeye Valley and Marysville. And I know that Elgin is a very small school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you see how many people attend their gates, they've got the same expenses when it comes to football and baseball and the different athletics. But I'll say this, there are a lot of people that really step up. I know that once a year, the Electric Cooperative comes in and has a night where everybody gets, I think, a $5 voucher at the booth, the food stand. And the concession stand, and they totally fund that night with that. There's a lot of neat things that people do. There are giving people that go out and help, and without it, I don't think you'd be able to. But I'm just saying that there's times when there's ways that we can help people that are sensible, but there is always going to be a class difference. Why wouldn't there be? Some people are very good with money, and they save money, and they work hard, and obviously they're going to be able to afford things that are a little nicer. And there's some people some people do not have the capacity to do that, and a lot of it's generational. It's just generational poor decisions, or it's generational, maybe they just don't have the mental capacity to do it. And I think we need to recognize that. But here's my point of all this is treat everyone the same. don't redistribute wealth. I think that's just you're talking about a killer. You know, they tried when the settlers first founded this country, they tried to do it in a communal way. And they soon found out that nobody was eating. Because that's like, if he's going to eat free and stay home, I'm staying home. All of a sudden, no food's being produced, right? And so what they did was they went to the system we all know, and people worked, and they strive to get ahead, and there's always going to be those that won't strive to get ahead. But what I'm saying is, if you're someone that has a lot, make sure you help those that are truly in need. Mm-hmm. And when I say truly in need, I mean they're in need for a reason. You know, the Bible's very clear, too, about not helping those that refuse to work. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. And in a lot of our outreaches today and things that we do, we take care of a lot of people that just won't work. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I really don't. Because that's what we are in a society. We live in a country today where it is possible to never work and still live better than somebody that worked their whole life and ends up, and didn't invest anything and ends up on just Social Security. Isn't that weird? That is so strange. And people on Social Security that are just on Social Security have it tough. But realize there was a time in this country when there was no Social Security. And what happened? Exactly what the Bible tells people to do. You know, the Bible says that someone that won't take care of their immediate family is worse than an unbeliever. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really bad. We are to take care of our families first. And then we're to take care of those that are in need for whatever reason. Maybe they don't have family. Maybe they're handicapped. Maybe they can't work. For whatever reason, we take care of them. But somebody that just wants to lay around and watch TV and be taken care of, unfortunately, we've gotten to a place in this country where that can happen, and people are able to do it. And we've got to figure out a way to get past that point. I would never turn anyone away with a genuine need. Matter of fact, that guy laying on the couch, starving, if he were hungry, I imagine I'd probably feed him too. But the point is that we don't let people hit rock bottom anymore. Now, rock bottom in people's mindset today is different than what rock bottom truly is. Because a lot of people feel they've hit rock bottom if they can't have the best iPhone and they can't have the best cable plan and they can't have, you know, man, I've hit rock bottom. I don't got nothing. Know what you got? You know, no, that's not rock bottom. Rock bottom is when you can't get a roof over your head. You know, you have nothing to eat. You know, that's rock bottom. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people would tell you that rock bottom turned them around.
You know, it really still does come down to, no matter what people say, housing and food. Housing and food. Transportation in an area like this, it's nice to have, but you can get past that. There are ways. But housing and food, that's what you need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, it's great being here today. And so I want to remind you to come to the Day in the Park. It's Sunday from 3 to 6. You will have a great time.
And great sauerkraut balls.
I'm shaving today. My little 3-year-old granddaughter told me that Poppy was going to start his Santa Claus beard. So I guess that's what I'm doing. And, you know, they're the boss. But
there you go.
Hey, God bless you guys. I love you and have a great day. Frank, it's been great. Scott, just have a wonderful week.
Do want to remind everybody that this show is live every Friday morning from 9:15 until 10 a.m., repeats on Sunday morning from 8:15 until 9 a.m., and then repeats on Wednesday and Thursday, 3:15 until 4 p.m., and again, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service, which has been fixed. If you went there last week and heard something else, it is fixed as of about 20 minutes ago, so go to WWGH1071.com, and you can listen to last week's service. It was on the air, right? It just wasn't on the website, right?
Yeah, and whoever that was, they didn't announce who they were. You had a great message.
Whoever it was, they did a good thing. But that service can be heard live here on the station on Sunday evening at 7:15 p.m. and repeats on Wednesday and Thursday right after the pastor spot from 4:15 until 5 p.m. We got about 40 seconds left. Anything...
Yeah, I just, you know, want to encourage people. I want to read something that was a footnote in this passage that I read. It says, do you ever envy that a rich girl, the rich girl in your class, this is for teenagers, The one whose dad bought her a new convertible for her 16th birthday. Do you feel cheated? In the Bible times, people thought wealth was a sign of God's favor. So Jesus shocked his disciples when he said that it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. What Jesus meant is that a rich person is likely to depend on possessions instead of God, and a rich person is likely to value possessions more than pleasing God. Is it wrong to be rich? Of course not. But this would be an appropriate label on all your possessions. Maybe hazardous to your spiritual health. God bless you guys.
M. Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this